Now, police in Wisconsin killed more people in 2017 compared to the last 3 years. The increase in the fatal shootings has some advocacy groups asking why this is happening and what can be done to prevent more of these shootings. Allison Durr joins us now. She's the crime and justice reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Appleton. She helped compile and verify the data around these fatal shootings. Allison, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, how many people have been killed in police-related incidents this year?
So far this year, there have been 24 fatal police shootings across Wisconsin, and those were across the entire state. We saw them from the far north corner all the way to the opposite corner. They've really been all over.
And how does that compare to other recent years since you started looking at these numbers?
Yeah, so the numbers that we looked at were from the Washington Post and the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. And those numbers showed that in 2015, there were 11 fatal shootings. In 2016, there were 17 fatal shootings. And then this year, year-to-date, is 24. So those have been increasing over the last 3 years, according to the data that we have.
But at the same time, you point out in your piece that while the fatal shootings have gone up, the number of overall shootings by police, if I have this right, remains steady?
Right. Yep, they've been about the same, year over year. So that's one of the questions that, is kind of hanging out there, is why are more people, dying in these shootings? And we're not necessarily seeing more shootings when you look at the fatal and non-fatal shootings combined.
And one thing that's complicated is, since these are different incidents isolated from one another, it's hard to pick out common themes sometimes. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, we really saw, a huge variety in terms of the circumstances of these shootings. We looked primarily into the 2017 shootings, and we saw, Appleton had a fatal shooting in a downtown bar where a bystander who was unarmed was actually killed. And that varied all the way up to the shooting, I'm sure people will remember, in Wausau, where 4 people were killed, earlier this year. So there was just a huge variety of these situations. And I think that's part of the challenge in terms of determining, how do we address this issue? And that's part of the conversation, that we're seeing, I think, in the state.
And talking to police representatives and police departments around the state, what do they do with this kind of information?
I think they look at the circumstances, especially when it's their own agency. Part of the conversation that that we're seeing in the state focuses on creating more of a learning model from these shootings. So instead of each shooting kind of being looked at as its own individual incident, there's a conversation going on right now about how do we kind of bring in a model that looks at what happened, what were the circumstances, what are the takeaways, and then disseminates that information to other police agencies so that, the lessons can be learned, widely across law enforcement.
And you talked in this story to a person who's been advocating for that kind of treatment, Michael Bell, who lost his own son in a police shooting. We've talked to him on the show. He's a former, I think, Air Force pilot, and he said, hey, let's take these shootings and treat them like pilots do and airlines do incident reports. What did he have to say about the data you're working on?
He wasn't really surprised at the numbers. And when I talked with him, I think there were 21 fatal shootings at that point. And since that conversation, there have been 3 more. So, he wasn't surprised by the numbers, but he said, this is something that we need to be looking at and trying to understand so that these kinds of things don't happen, to other people in the future.
We're talking to Allison Durr, crime and justice reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at the police shooting numbers in Wisconsin, people shot and killed by police. That's gone up over the last couple of years, but it can be hard to pin down a reason why. Allison, I want to look at how these are distributed. You mentioned these are across the state, and this is not a big city problem or a small town problem. There are instances in all different kinds of communities.
Right. And I think that was part of, what was so interesting in mapping the data, is seeing that, we had three in the Fox Valley. Just in the last 3 years, there were, you know, about six or so in the Wausau area. Milwaukee had, I think, seven. You know, and Eau Claire also had a handful. So you really see these across the state. You know, in some agencies that had multiple, but a lot of agencies, you know, had one of these shootings over the last 3 years. It really just kind of runs the gamut.
I want to look at some of the particular cases here. You mentioned a couple that were both in a sense related to active shooter situations, the one in Wausau, and then you mentioned that bystander in Appleton where the police officer believed there was an active shooter situation going on. But in some cases, they appear to have been suicide attempts by the person who was ultimately shot by police officers, including in one case, the victim, the person who was shot, had a what was in effect a suicide note and an apology to police. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what we've heard from, you know, from law enforcement. So, yeah, I mean, we saw that in a few different cases where somebody, it appeared later, was either trying to, I don't want to say get shot, but, you know, had a fake gun or, you know, had the suicide note like you had mentioned. So, yeah, I mean, that was one of the situations that popped up a few times in the data that we looked at.
And in how many of these cases was the person who was shot by police, how often were they armed in these situations?
They were armed quite a few times. I think, you know, let's see, there were, you know, a lot of guns that we saw, knives. In some cases, like in the one in Appleton, you know, the person who died didn't have the weapon, but you know, somebody else was reported to have shot, you know, shot a gun inside the bar. So there was a weapon involved in that situation. You know, it's kind of an outlier. But, you know, between toy weapons and guns, that was a pretty common theme that we saw in the data.
I want to get into mental health. Now, mental health is not a factor in all shootings, of course. It wasn't a factor in all police-related shootings, but it is an issue that police officers do have to deal with. What kind of conversation is going on about how police officers are trained to deal with maybe mental health emergencies?
Yeah, so there's crisis intervention training, and that's one kind of training that officers receive, not just in Appleton, but across the state. I don't know that there's a solid number for how many officers have been trained in crisis intervention, but that's one method that you hear come up quite a lot. And part of that is de-escalation. So, you know, using communication skills to try to de-escalate the situation. And that's another thing that's come up, in interviews with police.
Is it a thought that maybe in some of these situations, having those mental health and de-escalation techniques might have prevented the need for the use of force by police? In some cases, clearly not, if there was an active shooter situation. But could this be a preventive measure for future police shootings?
And I don't know if there's a good way to, you know, to gauge that. It's kind of hard to say what would have happened or what could have happened. And we didn't get too deeply into, you know, whether officers had that were involved in these situations had crisis intervention training or whether they hadn't. But I know one of the things that came up, too, was not just, you know, mental health training for officers, but also, you know, kind of how do we look at this at a larger societal level and think about, are we addressing the mental health needs that, you know, might lead people to be in these situations?
In Wisconsin, there's a law now that when there is a police-involved shooting, an outside agency has to investigate that. That's automatic, where it used to be optional. In talking to people involved in this story, was there agreement that that was a benefit, that was a good thing to have happening?
I think Michael Bell, the man who lost his son, he was really instrumental in getting that passed. And so we had talked with him a little bit about that, and I think with, you know, law enforcement agencies at this point, it's kind of, you know, part of the system. It's just how it, how these things go, you know, when there's a police shooting or an officer-involved death, you know, the automatic kind of response is to just turn to another agency. So that wasn't something that, you know, we delved too deeply into with, you know, at the various agencies, because I think that's, to some extent, just kind of an accepted step at this point.
We'll leave it there for now. Allison, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Allison Durr is a crime and justice reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. She joined us to talk about an increase in fatal police shootings in Wisconsin and the potential causes.